My employer requires your services, gentlemen. One job, one day's work. I have been asked by my employer...
Very dangerous.
...to bring a proposal.
He does not expect all of you to live.
He does not expect all of you to live.
Do it. Welcome to the Cyclone Fanatic Fawcast, a weekly podcast where we talk about pretty much whatever comes to mind. And we should probably take this opportunity to tell you that sometimes we talk about sensitive things. So, if you're easily offended, maybe you should stop listening right now.
So what you want me to do?
Let's get started. The Cyclone Fanatic Fawcast is made possible by Mark Charter Real Estate. Buying or selling? No one offers more than Mark Charter. Free moving truck, free storage, flexible commission plans, and more. Read more than 100 satisfied client reviews at markcharter.com. Now, on with the show.
Just talking? Well, what's the show about? It's about nothing.
Please welcome your host, Mark Charter.
I'm sorry I was born with this perfect bone structure, that my hair looks better done up with gel and mousse than hidden under a stupid hat with a light on it.
Adam Gray.
I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books.
And Chris Williams.
As you probably could have guessed by this moment, I have decided in 2020 to run for president.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to this week's podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com. Of course, it's brought to you by Mark Charter Real Estate, markcharter.com. He's at Iowa Real Estate on Twitter. And quickly, before we dive into the podcast, my apologies, guys, for we've had a lack of podcasts this week. That damn Jeff Woody had to go and get a new job.
It's pretty selfish of him.
Yeah, really selfish. We will have the Jeff Woody podcast coming back. It's just been like his first week at his new job. We're going to have to find different times to record. Bloom and I are still going to do a big basketball extravaganza. We're just going to wait until, I believe, Colorado and Chicago State get a little bit better grasp on what's going on, and we will bring you that podcast as well. But we're here with the podcast today. What's up, boys? How was Vegas?
We survived. We're back.
I heard, frankly...
you may want to describe, by the way, it sounds like we're broadcasting from a bank vault right now. We're in a new spot.
We have a new office.
I'm sure someone's going to notice that it sounds a little bit different.
Well, I can do some editing. I can do some fancy editing with this.
All right. Ignore what I just said if it sounds perfect to you guys.
Mark Charter, from what I understand, I've talked to multiple sources. I'm sourced in on this Vegas trip. I was getting text messages from multiple guys. And from what I heard, you were just a little bitch the whole time. You just hung out in your room.
Not a big one. A big one.
You were a giant bitch.
All right. Let me explain a few things here. I'm going to set the record straight.
Okay.
All right. So first of all, there's a slight difference to when you get offered to go on a trip relatively cheap and you've got not a care in the world, like Adam Gray, okay, versus the guy that is responsible for this group that has to make sure that airline tickets are printed, that has to make sure hotel room keys are printed out, that has to make sure they have a place to all go to dinner together.
Serious business, then.
So I had some responsibilities on this trip that I needed to take care of, and at times I was off doing those things.
So that was the reason you were going to bed at like 10 o'clock every night?
That's a complete falsehood. So another thing that people need to understand is Gray, although he stayed in a very nice hotel, he had a normal hotel room. Okay. Daddy treated himself to a penthouse suite.
I'm daddy. You're not daddy.
With a buddy. All right. All right.
So you had a penthouse suite with a buddy?
As an example. So for this example, I'm daddy. Okay.
We never saw those two the whole weekend. I'm just going to throw that
out
there.
So I'm up. So there's a difference between hanging out in a regular hotel room and hanging out in a huge suite. So we could watch games up there, hang out. It was very comfortable.
Gosh, if only in Vegas they had like this place that had like 15 different TVs everywhere where you could watch all the games.
So to be fair, and you saw me like Sunday afternoon, right? No, this was maybe Saturday.
I never saw you one Sunday. One time.
Well, partially because you were napping, hence the grade I'm about to give you. So Saturday we were at the book at Planet Hollywood.
Yes.
And... we were there. We were in the same room. We were sitting next to each other. The problem is I went there twice, two different times. I came over, watched games, left, came back, watched games. Both times, the smoke started giving me a huge headache. Hence why I went back to watch the rest of the games.
Okay. That's fair.
Blaming the smoker.
Yeah, that's fair.
Dude, I do not handle cigarette smoke well at all.
That's just an Iowa thing, isn't it?
Yeah, you can smoke there, which is really, really annoying.
I never noticed it once.
Well,
I didn't notice it at all.
That speaks to your...
Do you guys remember... Mark, you probably do. Adam, did you remember the bar I took you to before, or when we watched the Texas Tech game this year? Welch Avenue Station.
Yeah.
Had you ever been there before?
A long time ago.
Okay, so do you guys remember that bar back when you could smoke in bars?
Welch Avenue Station?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you would walk down there, and it's like a cloud of smoke there.
Oh, yeah.
When you talk about smoke, like that was the one bar in college that I really struggled to go to because I would want to die.
So that was the reason why I kind of, you know, wasn't there. But so anyway, so on the plane ride home, I did this before we took off. It obviously didn't send till later, but as we're taxiing to take off, I texted the group. That's part of the best part of this trip, actually, is a group text. You get 13 guys on one group text, the stuff that's going back and forth, and the pictures.
Quite a bit of fun.
The worst part about those is when one guy has like an Android and it screws everything up.
Well, for whatever reason, we would have a group text, and then suddenly someone would start texting some of us from a different text stream. And I'm like, how does that even happen?
We had three group texts going on at one point.
Which is really annoying. But so anyway, I graded everybody on their performance during the trip. I gave them all a letter grade, all 12 other guys. Well, 11, because Adam Wagner had already gone back to California. But
what did Adam get?
Wagner had to have gotten an F for leaving early.
So there were a couple guys that got A's, you know, solid effort out every night, gambling like a man, you know, the whole thing. Bobby Kay, a friend of mine that went, who was awesome. He basically bankrupted Vegas, and he was down for whatever. So I went down. Liebel, who's great, I bumped later because he presented some evidence to me to do so. Liebel was in the C range. Gray got an F minus.
Why? Yeah. Why did he get an F? Because in Adam's defense, I was getting text messages from him at like 4 a.m. my time. Like, I'm serious. I woke up one night just with a bunch of profane text messages from him.
He didn't have it. The problem with Gray is he didn't have a sustained effort. He had spurts of greatness.
Yeah.
And he apparently was given piggybacks to people through casinos.
If he had spurts of greatness, it's not worth an F minus.
No,
it's,
but the problem is he went to sleep at 4 p.m. on Sunday.
No, here's the problem.
He didn't appreciate me.
I was one of the few that gave him crap for just hanging out in the suite the whole time.
You were calling him out on it.
Yeah, and he took offense to it. And now he's bitter, and he's giving me an F minus because of it. And I get that.
The best part of the trip, though, was Sunday night we wanted to go watch the Sunday night football game. I had a big bet on it. So we sent out a group text. Everyone's like, yeah, we'll be there. We're going to Tilted Kilt to watch the game. And so I think five of us were there, five out of the 12 guys that were remaining. And we're sending texts. You guys on your way? And then I get some text back about how, like, no, we're just going to hang out here and drink, whatever. And I send back a text. I'm like, thanks a lot, guys. It's only my birthday. And the immediate text after that is basically like, oh, crap, we're on our way. Like, I guilted them all into joining us for dinner.
I didn't know.
They were going to stiff me.
I didn't know it was your birthday, so I apologize.
Yeah, they were going to stiff me on my birthday.
Happy birthday. All right, should we dive into Iowa State? Is that a good enough of a recap?
Yeah.
Do you have any other Vegas stories you want to talk about?
Nah, I don't know if there's any I can talk about on here. I got some good ones.
I think our listeners probably are ready for Iowa State.
No, I mean, the best thing about it, though, is when you're getting group texts of play-by-plays from, like, Lawrence. You know, he said play-by-play of events that are going on. I enjoyed that. But, it was a fun trip. Fairly tame. I mean, people had fun, but it wasn't a crazy Vegas.
I'm going to say, for the record, because I know my wife listens to this, my brother listens to this, for a second year in a row, nobody went to a strip club.
Yeah, no.
Which is completely true.
It is true. Saying.
So here's the question for both of you. One, Gray, now that you've experienced it, and everybody seemed to have a good time, would you go next year? And two, Chris Williams, would you go next year?
Yeah, can we do it on a bi-week type deal, like where it's
possibly.
Yeah, well, that would be ideal.
Ask Pollard to work out the schedule for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yo, JP.
I was actually hoping you'd give me at least a D so that I would not have to go again. But
I would love to go. I've never been to Vegas in my life.
I have to take the class over again, so I probably have to go again.
It's fun.
Yeah, it was a good time.
All right. I kind of want to change it and just start with basketball. Basketball starting tomorrow, and then we can obviously, we're going to hit on Iowa State, Oklahoma, look forward to Oklahoma State and make our picks later on in the program. But, I mean, Iowa State is a seventh-ranked basketball team in the country preseason. Their first game is at 4 o'clock tomorrow. I figured that's a decent place to start.
It's not bad.
I mean, I don't know.
Well, I mean, what are we looking for this Iowa State team?
Okay, this would be the question that I've been at. I asked John Walters this. I asked Travis Hines this on our radio show. What is, in our mind, a successful season for Iowa State basketball this year? Like, what do they have to do? Is it measured by where they ended the NCAA tournament? Is it measured by a Big 12 regular season championship? What is it like? What would define a successful season in year one of the Steve Prohm era?
For me, it's easy, clear cut. Record doesn't matter. Big 12 championship doesn't matter. They have to get to the Elite Eight. That's success for me. That's just, I'm speaking for myself.
Based on previous seasons,
based on the talent they have to get to the Elite Eight. Short of that, not a bad year, but short of that, they didn't accomplish what they should have accomplished. I mean, heck, they're a top 10 team. I mean, that's not far-fetched.
The only problem, and the only hole I would poke in that argument is that the NCAA tournament's such a crapshoot. I mean, the best team rarely wins.
But they don't have to win the whole thing.
No, I know.
I mean, Elite Eight.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm just pointing the obvious hole into that.
Yeah.
I'm not as much of an NCAA tournament guy to define a season. Personally, if Iowa State could stay in the top 15 throughout the year and not have like a dip down where they maybe lose a couple games and drop below, I think that'd be successful because they'd be consistent.
That's good for recruiting too.
Yeah, and I think more than anything, at the end of the year, end of the Big 12 year with 2-3 games to go, they have a chance to win the Big 12. I mean, I think that'd be a successful year. So I'd like to see him be a 4 seed or better. But really, when it comes to the NCAA tournament, anything Sweet 16 on is just gravy, in my opinion, for any team. And I mean, I know Duke and Kentucky, those teams expect more. But unless you're Duke or Kentucky, anything better than a Sweet 16 is good.
Yeah, I like that getting to that third weekend getting to that second weekend as far as the NCAA tournament goes is where I would say I kind of like what you said there, Adam, about the top 15. I wouldn't call it a failure if they finish second or third in the Big 12, but with the amount of talent that they have, it's like, man, in the next 10 years, like I venture to say, like just judging by the history of Iowa State basketball, we're probably not going to see a more talented team than what they have right now. So my whole deal is like I'd really like to see them unseat Kansas. Like to me, that would be that's the ultimate success.
Absolutely. That is the number one goal. But are we really that talented?
Well, 1 through 6 we are, but after that it's...
But okay, so I mean I always come back. I always compare it to NBA. I don't think we have an NBA player on our team. Yeah, you go up against Kansas, they're probably playing 4 guys that are NBA talents on the team.
It's true.
I mean, you go up against Oklahoma, they might have a couple guys.
You got a couple grand scheme fringe guys.
Fringe,
I mean, Monte
McKay. Yeah, but none of them that are
even Nader may be a fringe guy if he's grown as much as we've heard.
Yeah, I mean, he could be like a Chris Babb or kind of, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think George is.
I mean, that's the thing that people always – I mean, we have really nice players, and 1 through 6, they're all solid. But you look at them compared to other teams, and right now, I think for the first time in Iowa State's history, we don't have a guy in the NBA, or in the history since, what, like 85? What's that stat Bloom always talks about? Iowa State's had a guy in the NBA since 1985 on or something crazy like that. Well, this year we don't. So Hoiberg won with having good players, but we never really had great players. I mean, let's just be honest. We didn't. So
what happened to Jones? He not make it? He had made it.
Yeah, I don't think he ended up making the final cut.
No, he ended up getting cut.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think Iowa State doesn't
win
with talent.
Is Chris Babb not in the league?
I think he's like a D-League right now.
Oh, okay.
So
Deontay? D-League?
Yeah, or Europe or somewhere.
Okay.
But if we're going to be good this year, and I think we will be good, it's going to be because of experience and because of the style we play. I don't think it's going to be because we're going to go out and just have better players than other teams. I don't think we do personally.
I agree with the talent or with the experience aspect.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so rare in college basketball to have this many guys with that much experience who, you know, on the surface have really good chemistry.
Yeah.
My whole thing is I'm looking at next year. I don't think they're going to be very good. I mean, by the standards that we're used to now, I think that I think they're like an NIT team on the bubble next year, frankly. And like as of now, I mean, some recruiting can still happen and whatnot. But like my whole deal is, I just don't want to waste it. You know what I mean? Like you don't want to take this year for granted. So
enjoy the ride.
Yeah, I'm putting the chips all in. Big 12 championship.
I placed a $100 bet for a client of mine in Vegas on the Cyclones winning the national championship.
What was that? 40-1?
25-1.
Okay.
I've got it in my wallet. So yeah.
Huh.
I should have told him I forgot to place that bet. Just held the ticket.
Well, then that would have been your own $100.
Yeah, but I would have won if they won at all. $2,500, baby.
That would have been bad. That's chump change for you.
I told him. I was honest. So
Rob Gray's going to Sioux Falls.
Rob is, okay.
Yeah, he'll be covering it for us.
That'll be a fun environment. I'll be honest, I have not done any research on Colorado. Mm-hmm. It sounds like they got some key pieces back that maybe were injured last year.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be a little bit better than people think they're going
to
be.
I would agree. It wouldn't surprise me if they're not to this extent, But remember Maryland last year? Like, none of us really took them really seriously.
Yep.
And they were an NCAA tournament team, really good team.
Now they're number one.
Yeah. Now, Colorado's not that. But I do think that they're like a bubble team.
Yeah.
They've got talent. I mean, we've seen Boyle can coach. And frankly, they've been to more NCAA tournaments under him than they haven't.
It's a scary first game.
Absolutely it is, because if you show up like UAB, for instance,
yeah,
like you'll lose.
Well, that's where I keep coming back to.
They have a really good big man who will give a lot of people problems, and they got a decent point guard.
Yep. Now, this is where we saw Iowa State last year. A lot of times whenever they got up to ninth or so, it always seemed like they'd have a hiccup. Really a bad loss, whether it be Texas Tech or even at home against Baylor. Games that they shouldn't have lost, they should lose. That's, more than anything, that's what I want to see them get away from, is having those letdown games, because they do have a lot of seniors, a lot of guys that have played a lot of minutes. So this first game, I think it will show a lot about us if we can go out and win this game by 10 points or more.
I think, too, just the whole like aura around – Steve Prohm, man, you just don't want to see this team underachieve. And the only reason I say that is because we all know how fickle fans are and how quick a lot will be. It doesn't matter. Like, Prohm's first loss, I guarantee you, it does not matter to who or what the scenario, Prohm's first loss, there's going to be people on Cyclone Fanatic saying, well, we wouldn't have lost that game if we had Fred. And it's totally natural. I'm not blaming fans for feeling that way.
But if you say that, you're an idiot. We lost to Texas Tech last year.
My point is,
Fred wasn't perfect.
The thing is, though, if they drop out of the top 25 at some point during, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
I just don't want that, because on the recruiting trail and whatnot, they need that. That's one of the reasons why I think Fred left when he did, was to leave the cupboard available for somebody else to have some success, and you need to capitalize off of that.
It's weird to say this, but I'm more excited this season about watching defense. You know, that's what he's known for. Yeah. I want to see what he does.
I hope you're right, buddy.
Are we any different on defense? I mean,
I doubt it. I think that's more what you say in the offseason.
We couldn't defend the three for anything last year, and that was frustrating to watch teams bomb threes on us and us do nothing to prevent it. So hopefully we at least stop that.
Part of that, to me, is personnel, too. We don't have a lot of great length 1-3. I mean, we didn't last year. I mean, when you have Matt Thomas, Naz, and Monte out there, it's not like you have elite. I mean, Monte is a good on-ball defender, but he's not a closeout, get in your face when a guy's shooting a three kind of guy.
You're hurting his draft stock right now. People are listening.
They've already called me.
You want to know what's hilarious about that?
What?
This is old school. Bloom and I were doing a radio show once, and Bloom compared Royce White to Manny Ramirez, which, looking back, was spot on. You know, this is Royce had just started playing for Iowa State. I mean, it was in like December, so it's like in the middle of the non-conference, okay? And I got an angry phone call. I'm not going to say from who, but one of Royce White's handlers.
Yeah.
Saying just that, like, that these draft scouts are...
They're listening to your show.
They're listening to everything. They're, you know, they're taking everything in. And by you guys
No wonder he had anxiety. He had handlers that were just crazy.
Swear to God, like, you can't make that up.
Paranoid.
I took an angry phone call from a Royce White handler.
You tell him maybe he shouldn't have stole stuff from, maybe that probably hurt him a little bit more than what two hacks from Des Moines, Iowa were saying on the radio.
But the only reason I tell that story is, like, there's people crazy enough out there that think that that is legitimate.
Yeah. Gray, do you want to apologize then for what you just said about Monte?
No, I just said Monte's a great on-ball defender. What I'm saying is, if he's closing out on a three-pointer, he's what, 6'1"?
Yeah.
We don't have great length 1-3. We don't know. If Nader's in there, it's a little bit different. He's got great length. But I think that hurts as far as getting a hand up on some of these tall guys. When you're playing Baylor and they're three guys 6'8",
he's gonna get
a shot over us whether we're on him or not. That's tough.
The one aspect of this season that scares me, and this is just me being scared that it doesn't go well for Iowa State. It's just the relationship that Fred Hoiberg and George Niang had, the trust there, and the way that he let George play.
Mm-hmm.
And if Prohm is such a point guard guy, like we've heard about, like, I mean, we've just heard over and over and over about all this, you know, the Cameron Payne, the Isaiah Cannon, all that stuff. If he really, like, if everything truly is running through Monte all the time out there and it hurts George's numbers, like, there is part of me that worries about just a chemistry thing. I have no reason to think this, so don't read into it. I know fans like to read into it, but it does worry me. Is that type of change. I mean, part of the reason George was so successful is the way Fred was brilliantly able to use him. So will that stay? I mean, and the thing is, I asked Steve Prohm, it was before I was doing the... In fact, I think you were with me when I was doing that interview with Steve Adam. I was doing the preview for Athlon that I write, and we have to have those things ready by, like, man, it's, I think those things are due in like June or whatever. Mm-hmm. So this is right when Steve had gotten there, and I asked him, like, what are you doing right now? What's the main thing that you're working on? And he said he was studying how Fred used George, and because it's such a unique way, I've never had a guy like that, et cetera. And you don't know that that's going to be flawless. Yeah. So that to me, like, if you're thinking about concerns for this top 10 basketball team, that's one of them.
I'm a big fan of self-preservation rules, though. And all I mean by that is that Steve Prohm's in a great job, great salary, et cetera. He doesn't want to do anything to screw that up or jeopardize that. And sometimes it's as simple as that. So they'll just keep rolling with what they do.
Yep.
I don't think he's going to screw it up too much.
And I have no reason to think that he won't, but it's like, man.
Sounds like for the most part, he's pretty much said, hey, guys, you take the offense. You do what you want to do. For the most part, isn't that how he's kind of come off saying it?
That's what they're saying. Let's see. I mean, you know what I mean? I'm kind of just I've been through enough off seasons now in both sports where it's like,
now I know.
Let's see what happens when you play Northern Iowa and you got a really, solid, smart team defending. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I want to, like. You can say it all, but I want to see it now.
Yep. Now, we weren't able to watch a Grand Valley State game because we're out in Vegas, but how did they use George in that game?
And honestly, that game...
It's Grand Valley State, so take it...
And Steve even said so afterwards. They barely even called a set.
Really?
I mean, they were just running around and shooting. They hit 16 threes. I mean, it was so...
Well, because last year, they made a big deal out of George's body transformation. He lost all the weight. He's taking another step again this year. He's in even better shape. I mean,
he's a much better shooter, too, from what I understand.
Really?
Like, they used the Doug McDermott model with him. You know how Doug's jump shot got so much better from junior to senior year? They were working on that with George. Because, I mean, that's George's only chance if he's ever going to play in the NBA. Yep. He's got to be able to be a 40-plus percent three-point shooter. Honestly, you couldn't. I learned nothing.
Okay.
From Grand Valley State. And I tried to dissect that thing. I've watched it like three times now because I'm sick. And I've learned nothing. The one thing and another thing that concerns me is the hips on Naz and Cooks.
How did Naz look?
Naz looked great.
Okay.
Of all the guys, I mean, he probably looked the best.
It's vintage Naz. First game of the year, he goes out and hits 6-7 threes. He does it every year.
I just know, and you know, the McFarland Clinic guys were on our program, and we're talking about hips a couple of weeks ago. Those things, man, they don't just you don't just snap your fingers and be healthy. Sometimes your hips are never the same. Mm. So,
Bo Jackson.
Yeah, like that worries me because they don't have depth.
Especially until Burton comes too. Even less.
That'll be
you know
clip,
what
though.
We're for a team that's ranked 7th in the country, and we're a day away from the first game. We're not overly positive right now. Did I start us off by negative by saying this
stuff?
There's
just a lot of what ifs. There's that's what's happening.
Or us as Iowa State fans are we used to get kicked in the nuts?
If Hoiberg was here, I think the tone would be different.
You're 100%. Right. It is.
So you know, what ifs.
I think part of it is too. Every year at the beginning of the year, I get really excited because I can't wait to see the new guys play for the first time. Well, this team coming in, none of them are new. We've seen every one of them. So, I for some reason I keep telling myself, how am I not more excited for this team? Well, it's because there's no unknowns. The only unknown, I guess, is Steve Prohm and how he's going to handle this team. But I don't think we're going to see a huge. I don't think we're going to see a huge difference this year. I don't think we'll know a whole lot about Steve Prohm until next year, personally. But
yeah, no, I agree. I agree. I think that's a good way to leave it. You want to move on to football?
Do we have to?
Sometimes you're phenomenal at transitions, and sometimes, you know, you just really struggle. That was a poor
That was
poor
more
effort.
Like a meh segue.
Well, I mean, come on.
All right, so let's do football. We watched some of the game in Vegas. Did you watch it all? Because it kind of got ugly there.
Yeah, I'm weird like that. I watched every second of it.
All right, so...
Gray's a good fan.
I made a point... after the Texas win, where I said I was not on Paul's bandwagon, but the potential was there. And what had to happen was we had to play Oklahoma, Oklahoma State close, and I thought we had to win against K-State, West Virginia. My feeling is all the momentum we picked up from Texas has now gone away. That's just my opinion. You'll probably disagree, and that's fine. But we came off a great win, shutout win. You know, hey, you know, Lanning looked great, blah, 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 blah. We're going to go in. Nobody was saying we were going to beat Oklahoma. I get that. But it played out exactly like it does every year when we go there. Same type of score, same type of effort. They showed me nothing coming off of that great win. You know, there was no juice, no life, no whatever. It just was boring again. So I'm kind of right back where I was before.
I thought the effort was fine until about the fourth quarter when all of a sudden they started scoring. I mean, when Iowa State would give up 15, 20 yards of play. Before that, I mean, at some point the other team's just better than you. You know, the effort. I didn't think that – especially when we got down, I think they scored 21 straight or three straight scores. And then our defense just pretty much shut them out for about a quarter and a half. I mean, that's impressive. That says something about the team right there. But at the end of the day, I mean, I don't know if Cotton Boy is that big of a loss or a couple other guys. We just didn't have the horses to stay with them. And
God, I was so annoyed with all the drops in the first half.
See, people are killing Lanning. I mean, I don't want to say he played great, but he didn't – I mean, catch the ball, guys.
I mean, his passes weren't perfect, but they were catchable too.
Well, Dondre Daly's – I mean, you got to catch that ball.
Well, Lazard, that little five-yard out or whatever it was.
He dropped
third
more
down.
Yeah.
I mean, that was what was disappointing to me. Like, I kind of thought – like that's a terrible matchup. It always is for Iowa State. They've never been able to match up with Oklahoma. I was just disappointed because I felt like there were areas in that game where it was just simply just catch the damn ball and it keeps it close. They were never going to beat Oklahoma.
Dude, I mean, it's like that every game. Every game I get done, I'm like, man, if we would have just done this, this, or this and got out of our own way, it would have been a respectable game, but we can't do it. I don't know why.
People always say those things, and my response to that is always, guess what, guys? The good teams do those things. Yeah. The bad teams don't do those things. It's as simple as that. All I was looking for was some signs that we've turned a corner. And if we had turned a corner, then you could maybe make the argument that maybe Rhodes is on the right track with these guys and you should keep them. I didn't see that. Yeah. So I'm back to where I am. Get rid of them. Sorry. That's just.
I want to wait and see what happens the next 3 weeks. And then can I judge then?
Okay, so to get
what if they? I mean, but my point is, like, what if they would win on Saturday? Then are you? You know what I mean? Like, I just want to wait and see.
I don't see that happening, guys.
Well,
every week, Gray's like, oh, it could happen, you know. And
I don't pick them every week.
Oklahoma State's pretty good.
They have
a really good defense.
They're gettable.
Different team, but I think this Oklahoma State team coming in is better than the one we beat when they were number two.
They had a great receiver.
They had a quarterback.
I disagree.
No, that Oklahoma State team was better. But that Iowa State team was better too because they had nine Klein in them.
They had a lot of NFL guys.
Leonard Johnson. They had some players.
Benton was really good.
I look at this Oklahoma State team coming in the same way I looked at TCU coming in. It's a gettable game if Iowa State does so. They have to play good. I mean, there's no question. Iowa State has to, you know, limit turnovers, get a couple turnovers. They can win the game. I never thought they could beat Baylor. I never thought they could beat Oklahoma. I think they can beat Oklahoma State. They got to make the simple plays. I mean, it just comes down to that. They are one of my picks. I'm taking Iowa State plus 14. When I was watching the Oklahoma game, I'm thinking to myself, this team is done. Same thing. But going into the week, I kept thinking Oklahoma State game was winnable. So I'm trying to not be that fan that overreacts from game to game because as we see in college football, every week's different. I mean, just when you think one team is done and they're going to get slaughtered, they come back and kick someone else's butt the next week. So I'm actually going to be taking Iowa State
with
14 points.
I don't blame you, Adam. I mean, I don't think they win, but I do think that they're the one thing about this team and being around the guys, I do think that they're I do think that they're in it together.
They haven't quit.
No, they haven't. It's a gritty group of young men. And I'm actually, you know, as an Iowa State alum, this might sound corny, but I'm actually proud of this group, just the way that they've done that. I mean, they've had multiple opportunities to quit this year, and they have not. And on senior day, I agree with you, Adam. I hope they come out. And
if the game was at 6, I'd feel a lot better about that 14.
Yeah.
I would.
That makes sense.
I like night games.
2:30, right?
2:30. You going?
Yeah. All right. You gonna stop by the tailgate now that you need?
Thank God,
you and Lawrence are good friends.
2:30.
We're best buds.
You need to come by his house.
Yeah, we're best buds now.
Come play some bags with me.
Okay, I might.
I'll
bring the boys.
That'll be fun.
I can't wait for Baylor, Oklahoma. That'll be sweet. Be a great game.
What time's that? Six?
That's at seven.
That's one of my picks.
So you don't get to watch like the second half of that game?
Well, 2:30. So how long do we anticipate Iowa State, Oklahoma to last? Oklahoma State.
It'll be over by six.
Six? Okay, then I'll be on the air at...
7:30?
Well, I go on an hour after the game.
Oh, okay.
So seven to
You'll
eight.
See the second half.
I'll see the second half. I'll probably hit up Buffalo Wild Wings in Ankeny.
B-Dubs.
Sponsor of Cyclone Fanatic.
Nice.
Or Benchwarmers. Or
what's your prediction on that game? That game,
dude, I don't know. Like,
that's one of my picks this week.
My heart is with Baylor because I want the Big 12 in that damn playoff.
Me too.
But my football mind says Oklahoma's going to win.
I think Baylor's the only team that's got a realistic chance, and not only if they get there, of actually doing any damage. Now, Oklahoma could, but I just think the Texas loss is going to keep them out.
I think Oklahoma's the better team. I truly do. But like Baylor at home, like they've won a ridiculous number of games in a row there.
Braille seemed overly confident too, and you watch him. Maybe he just
That's
always just comes
him.
Off that way. But
That's
man.
Why I love him.
Yeah,
Braille's disciple. All right, let's do our picks and bore Elise.
I went 1-4 last week. It was the worst week I've had picks wise in years.
Yeah,
so recap.
C-Dub went 1-4. Charter went 2-3. So you guys are tied.
Nice.
23-25-2. I would not high
Gray,
five.
Gray is getting a lead
that is
on
embarrassing.
Us here.
I went 3-2. Both my losses were garbage.
Isn't it funny how it works though, Gray? Like our staff picks, like I've done really well this year, and here I'm not doing so much. And our staff picks, you're doing terrible. Doing very well in this one.
I went 5-2 last week in staff picks.
Is that your first winning week of the year?
It might be.
But it's just funny. Like my point is that there's a lot of luck that goes into this.
Oh,
when
there's
you pick against the spread, and this is vintage.
I think college football this year has been all over the board.
I'm picking five games this week, and I'm going to be honest, I hate them all. So
they're terrible.
So don't, if you're listening, don't go bet these.
Start us off, Charter.
I'm going to start us off with this is a good team against an absolute garbage disposal team. TCU -45.5 against Kansas. I don't know. You may want to verify these lines. I looked on another site.
I just looked it up.
But it's at TCU. I mean, TCU can easily score 70 if they want to in this game. I hope they do. So, -45.5.
Here's a game I'm incredibly confident in. My Nebraska Cornhuskers at 9.5 at Rutgers.
Have they won for you once this year?
No.
Nothing says consistency like the Nebraska Cornhuskers.
I love it.
-9.5?
Yeah.
9.5. They lost to Purdue last time they were on the road.
Yeah, but they had a backup quarterback. They've got Tommy Armstrong, my guy.
Rutgers is not...
touchdown, Tommy's back.
Rutgers is not Kansas bad, but they're bad.
Yeah, they're not good. Actually, that was a great game this year. Rutgers-Kansas.
What?
That was a great game. You didn't watch that game?
No.
No?
Oh. No.
That's been my comeback to the Big Ten guys that I work with. Like, whoever calls in about and Rutgers ever gets mentioned, I'm like, they barely beat Kansas, all right, guys?
Yeah. I remember them playing, but no, I didn't watch it.
It was like a 11-point game or something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
All right, I'm looking for them to rebound. LSU -7.5 over Arkansas. Arkansas emotional win on pretty much the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I will take Arkansas to run all over them. LSU to run all over
them. I'm going
to
back up my next pick with that exact same one. LSU -7 over Arkansas.
7.5, sir.
Okay.
Are you sure? At 7.5?
Yeah, but I took TCU to 45 for you.
I don't like the 7.5 line, but I'd probably still take it.
Give me Ohio State at -16 at Illinois. They get their quarterback back. I think that's the
impressive road win coming up for them.
I think that's the big key for them. And Herb will get these guys, you know, they start to trend upward at the end of the year. JT Barrett's had the week off to lick his wounds because of his alcohol problem. Big win for the Buckeyes.
I like it. All right, I already said I got the Cyclones +14. I think this is a inside of a touchdown game, Charter.
Here's the thing.
I'm not picking it. I disagree with that. I can see Iowa State keeping it within 14, but I think that if I had to put real money on it, I would probably take Okie State.
Here's where I keep coming back to.
Where did you get the line at now? What is it now?
I got it at 14.
Okay.
What do you got? You see something different?
No, I saw it open at 13.5. I didn't know what it had come to now.
I mean, what I keep coming back to is TCU's secondary is terrible, awful. And how many times were their touchdowns just because they just threw the ball deep and the guy was wide open?
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen against Iowa State. I think Brian Peavy's pretty good on the deep ball. And I think we can. Like how West Virginia was against them.
Okay, State's fast
game.
Though.
I think
they got some speed on that team.
They got a couple guys that are fast, but I don't think. I mean, they won't be the fastest team we played. I'm not worried That's about Baylor. Their speed. So
yeah,
I like that pick.
Speaking of Baylor, the game of the week. Baylor, Oklahoma at Baylor. I like the spread because it's little, tiny little spread. Baylor -2.5 over the Sooners. I just think the home field advantage. Baylor's defense is good. Not great, but good. It's just, can they outscore Oklahoma? And I think they can. I envision a shootout, a bit of a shootout in this one.
It's essentially a pick'em. I mean, really, because the way Baylor scores.
Let me get you a trend on that game, just because I'm curious and I want to look it up. This is for my own.
That game opened at 7. So, I mean, money's been going hot on Oklahoma.
I mean, if you're going to take Baylor, you have to love 2.5 points.
Absolutely.
In that game.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This is my only fear. Well, I already talked about, I think Oklahoma's a better team. But Briles has really kind of run it up on Stoops the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Stoops is just one of those guys who, I don't know. That game scares the crap out of me.
If it was at Oklahoma, I'd be picking Oklahoma.
Yeah, no,
it's a home game.
I'm not going to touch it.
Here's
I'm not going to touch it, but I hope you're right.
Here's why I like Baylor. Oklahoma's played two games that I would say are big games for them this year. At Tennessee, where they were lucky as hell to win.
Yeah, they were.
Not that good of a team.
No. I mean, Tennessee, they almost beat Alabama. I mean, they're good. They just don't know how to win games. And then Texas. I mean, a rivalry game, and they lost. Other than that, they've beaten West Virginia, Kansas State, Texas Tech, Kansas, and Iowa State. I'm sorry, they haven't beaten anybody. And this is a big game, and so far in big games, they've shown they're not very good.
So you like my pick?
I like your pick.
There you go.
Boy, here's one.
Big game, Bob. My ass.
I'm thinking about going with a game that I don't know anything about.
Always a good formula for success.
Okay, give me this one here. I want Texas Tech at 5.5 versus Kansas State. My theory on Kansas State stands. I still don't think they're very good. And Texas Tech is a whole different animal at home.
I don't like that.
That's fine.
I didn't pick it, but
that's fine.
Because Bill Snyder's, he's smart.
Yeah, I agree.
He's a smart guy. He's not going to do what. Well, who was the offensive coordinator I had earlier in the year? Mark something?
Mark Mangini.
Mark Mangini. Yeah, that's right. I already forgot about that guy. But anyway, he stopped running the ball against Texas Tech when Iowa State was running all over him. Do you think Bill Snyder will stop running the ball?
No.
Nope.
Kansas State
wins that game.
By the way, I don't know if you saw this, but the last 2 years.
Kansas State wins?
Wins.
Wow.
2 years ago, Baylor won 41-12. Last year, they won 48-14. Two straight years, not a close game. So that was the Baylor goal on the stuff.
What was last year?
48-14.
That was in Norman?
Yeah. Yeah.
Art.
Yep.
Loves it.
That's a good point. You may have talked me out of that one, Adam.
Did I?
You might have talked me out of it.
He's going to control. I mean, they're going to win the time of possession.
They're not going to
45-15.
They're not going to win, but you scratch that one off. Good job. That's pretty hard to do, to just talk me off of a pick, but you just did that.
I talked you into one last week.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
I talked you into
Nebraska. That's pretty difficult to do because I'm a pretty headstrong individual.
I tried to talk you off Baylor last week too, but you didn't listen to me.
I'm going
to
ride with my boys here. My boys being the Gamecocks.
You like the cocks.
Yeah. Love me some cocks. Okay.
As we found out in Vegas.
And yeah. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Great. So twice this season, Carolina's been a healthy underdog. I think it was like +17. Covered both times for me. Underdog again against Florida. The game is at home. They're +8. I like South Carolina +8 to keep it somewhat close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. Florida looked terrible last week. They lost me money.
9-7 Vanderbilt.
Yeah. I'll stay in the SEC here. I'll take Mississippi State +8 against Bama at home. Bama just had an emotional game.
Yeah.
Traveling on the road.
Yeah. Don't hate it.
Mississippi State, actually, they lost to LSU at home by 2, so I think they're kind of familiar with
it. I don't hate it.
So I'm going to take Mississippi State.
Yeah.
Have you got a pick now?
Well, this could create conversation.
Ooh.
So BYU is a 6.5-point favorite at Missouri. So here, over the last 3 weeks, or over the last 4 weeks, the most points Missouri has scored is 13. And they've had all the distraction.
The drama.
What do you mean?
So like part of me wants to just pick BYU because Missouri's because of that, but it could backfire because they could be all inspired.
If they're ever coming out like a unified front, is the game to do.
That's why I'm like this.
I don't see them coming out laying an egg after getting the president of the university fired because of their solidarity. I think they're going to come out.
What a sham.
I think they're going to come out and do it up.
Jeez. We could do a whole like political discussion over that, man. That's
dude, if they had tried to do that at Iowa State with Leith would have just said, fine, I'm canceling the football program. We'll find a way to make money another way. See you guys. Yeah, we'll start over next year. I don't think Leith would have been pushed around like that.
No, I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
Give me shoot.
How long are these podcasts supposed to go on for?
I don't know what I want to pick this week. Do you guys have more picks to make?
I got one more.
Give me a second. Give me a minute. I don't know what to do.
It's called good radio.
It's fantastic radio. Good job by you, C-Dub.
All right. Give me a pick, Ray.
All right. I got Michigan State minus 14.5 at home against Maryland. I just look for him to rebound after that Nebraska debacle.
Guess what? Screw those Spartans.
Yeah. Your last pick's Maryland?
No. They cost me money in Vegas.
Yeah, me too.
Dude. Well, actually, the refs cost me money, to be more accurate, but whatever. All right, because everybody knows that I'm a huge Hawk fan. I'm going to take Iowa minus the 12.5 against Minnesota. Minnesota, they're not good.
Nope.
They're not good. And yeah, it's two scores, and yes, it's Iowa, but Iowa's capable of beating them by two scores. I think they do.
I got a stat for you.
All right. I love stats.
Did you know that teams that have a new coach hired in the middle of the year win 89% of the next games?
Really?
No, I made that up. But it seems that way, doesn't it?
It doesn't always seem
whenever
the
new coach...
But this isn't their next game. So, you know.
Well, since he's been hired, didn't
he? That guy's been around, though.
Yeah, but it's emotional still.
I know, but it's their third game after Kill, isn't it?
Yeah, but the first game since he's been hired as a new coach.
Yeah, that won't matter.
All right.
That won't matter. Right. Big day in Iowa City. They got their big old wrestling thing happening over there.
That'd be a cool day.
Night game.
Good weather.
And I can just as easily see Iowa winning on a last-second field goal as I can them covering this spread.
At the same time, Iowa State misses like a chip shot, like 20-yarder.
Yeah. By the way, I was texting you guys last night. Cole Nettin is not the worst kicker in America.
Cole Nettin's on fire, man. He's in fuego.
Who was it? Toledo? Who was I texting you about? Toledo?
Yeah, that Toledo kicker. Yeah.
Wow. That guy sucks, dude.
I didn't watch it.
21-yarder miss, 33-yarder not even close. Plus, he missed another one.
You'd be able to go out there and hit 7 for 10 for 30.
For sure, which we're still going to do. Today would be a good day if I got the wind behind me. It's windy out.
I get to pick where we're going. Geez. What the hell was that?
You just threw your football into the microphone. Kickers have to cause ulcers for coaches. Just, you go out there, it's like, hey, you know, the coach makes the decision. It's not worth going for it. Let's just go get the points. And then your kicker goes out there and doesn't get the points.
Well, I don't feel bad for coaches. Don't kick field goals.
Well, they're just supposed to because it's supposed to be automatic. In college, it's far from that.
Speaking of field goals, Dan Quinn for the Falcons coach, good decision to kick a field goal in that game, wasn't it?
Dude, don't even get me started. That's another one. Was there a logical explanation that you could possibly come up with to make that call at that time?
None. Because if they don't get it, Blaine Gabbert's got the ball on the 1 yard line.
Yeah. And you still, either way, kicking a field goal or not kicking a field goal,
you're still down.
You still are relying on the same defense to do something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tempted to Google that to see if he said anything about it. I never looked to see if he... I'm sure he got asked about that after the game.
I think he said he has tremendous confidence in both his offense and defense, which isn't really answering or saying anything.
Which, again, makes no sense. If you have tremendous confidence in your offense, you say, go for it on 4th and 1.
Yep.
Because I have tremendous confidence in my offense.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have tremendous confidence in your defense and your offense fails you,
they
need to stop the team at their own 1 coming out of the end zone 3 times.
Absolutely.
It makes no sense. It was a chicken call is what it was.
Yes.
Yeah, I was mad.
I got a couple of picks.
All right.
I like Bama at -8 at Mississippi State.
Oh, we're going against each other here.
Yeah.
All right.
They're all about style points. Saban's pissed.
It's about what? They're second now.
He's just going to keep running it up.
No, he's taking his foot off the gas.
Disagree.
Bama just doesn't ever run it up. Bama's a team that rarely will get out of the 40s. They just don't.
I'm going to say bounce back weekend for Florida State at 9.5 versus NC State. That's a home game.
Yeah.
And I still haven't made my fifth pick, but I will.
I got a fifth pick here.
You haven't made? Okay, go for it.
Yep. So I will take the Broncos -6 at home against the Chiefs.
I always forget about the NFL.
Rebounding after that disappointing loss to the Colts.
Yeah, they look bad.
No Aqib Talib because he decided he's going to poke a guy in the eye. He should lose more than one game. He should lose one game for doing it and like two for just being that stupid.
I saw one replay, but just kind of in passing. Was it completely obvious that he did it on purpose?
He just walked right up to him and just, I mean, it was like Three Stooges and just poked him right in the eye. I mean, it was the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
What a douche.
Sometimes football players do stupid things. Speaking of stupid things.
He wasn't even in on it. Like, he wasn't even in on the trash talk. Yeah. He came from off to the side and did it.
Does it bother you, by the way, because I know you I think, felt we should have kept this guy around, when you see David Irving for the Cowboys dominating out there on Sunday Night Football, making tackles, making sacks? You're like, what the crap, dude? We should have played that dude more.
It doesn't change anything, because when they kicked him off, I thought it was a mistake, and I still think it was a mistake.
Yeah. It's like we kicked off like one of our better players.
Uh-huh. I'll take the under in Oklahoma Baylor. Which is?
That's a first for you.
77.
That is a first for you.
He's going off of this this stuff I just told him.
No,
the score,
no,
yeah. The scores from the last 2 years just entered your brain.
No, I just Oklahoma, I think scored Oklahoma's like 12 and 14. I think they have a good defense.
All right.
Frankly.
Is Baylor's defense finally going to step up? Because they got some good players there, but their defense really hasn't been that good this year.
No, their safeties and their corners are average. Their linebackers are average. They have they're good up front.
Well, Oakman, for being looking like LeBron James, doesn't really. I mean,
Billings is better than Oakman.
Yeah, but Oakman's the guy that everyone talks about.
Yeah, because he looks like a freak. But that's it. It's all flash and not much substance.
Yep.
Where do you think he gets drafted, Oakman?
He's still first round pick.
Yeah, he's still top 15. Him and see, that's the thing, like that just cracks me up about these analysts who probably don't watch much Big 12, and they say that Baylor is like insanely soft. Well, they may be.
Yeah.
But they've got two top 15 draft picks on their defensive line.
Yeah.
Like, nobody talks about that. I don't. Does any other team in the country have that this year? I don't know. I mean, maybe one or two tops, but I doubt
Iowa
it.
Iowa State.
Now, Billings didn't play against Iowa State, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, because we were able to run on them pretty good.
And he's back. They're actually pretty healthy.
Yeah.
Heading into Saturday.
I almost want to take Baylor. I almost do, but
I don't. Just I don't feel comfortable about. The only pick I'm confident in is Nebraska Rutgers. That's the only pick I'm confident in.
You're not confident in that.
Oh yeah.
No, you're not.
Touchdown Tommy Armstrong?
I know you're a Cornhusker fan, and you and Jared are gonna watch this game together, but there's no way you feel good about that.
Oh, I feel great about it.
Chris is a good liar.
You're a great liar.
I'm going 1-4 again this week. I'll get lucky somewhere.
He's probably telling the truth on that one. We need to catch Gray. He's got a five game.
Like,
lead
I don't
on
feel
this.
Good about any of these.
Have you guys started making the trophy?
No. Five games. That could change this week.
All right.
5-0.
Do you guys have plans for the Cyclone basketball game? 4:00 tip tomorrow.
I'll be out at Wellman's watching it.
Are you coming over to the radio show or?
Probably not.
Okay.
You're going to be doing the radio show while the game's going on?
Yeah. We're going to have like a Cyclone game watch on the radio.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's awful.
I would much rather just be watching it, but it's my job. So
I don't know if I'm going to do a phoner.
I don't know. I thought your job as Cyclone Fanatic was to cover the game, but what do I know?
Who do they play Monday? Monday? Hilton?
Chicago State.
I think I'm going to that game.
That's the worst. That's traditionally one of the worst Division I basketball teams in the country.
So we won by 50?
I get sad watching teams like that. Like, those kids are just trotted around. Like, it funds their entire athletic department. This is them go around and just get the crap kicked out of them.
Yeah, it'd be terrible to go to Hilton Coliseum and play basketball.
But that's all they do. They don't ever get home games in the non-conference. Look at their schedule.
If you were a college kid, would you really hate traveling to, like, cool places like Hilton Coliseum?
If I know I'm going to get beat by 40 every game because they are utilizing us like that, absolutely.
That kind
of
sucks.
And I would venture to guess, if you went and looked at the graduation rate of those kids, how many of them are actually getting degrees? Not a good deal.
Let me ask a trivial question that also doesn't matter. Yeah, it doesn't matter, hence why it's trivial. But how did the game day atmosphere change with Prome? Were they using the exact same music, or was that all changed up when he came out of the tunnel?
It was totally different.
Which you would expect.
Well, like, he didn't. You know how it was, like, very scheduled with Fred? Like, yeah. Prome just kind of appeared.
Just out of nowhere.
It wasn't as.
Did the crowd go crazy?
Fred came out at the right. Yeah, the same song every single time.
They welcomed him, yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Honestly, like,
jam still though.
Oh yeah,
nice.
Just garbage.
Nice.
It's just so corny. It makes me like look at the uniforms Iowa's wearing on Saturday. Those things are bitching, man.
Is bitching, is that a good thing?
Yeah,
bitching's good.
Oh, the blackout unis.
Yeah, those things are sick.
Yeah.
Like, we just don't do anything cool.
We're traditional.
Yeah.
Well, we need new Paul then, is what you're saying. We need new Paul.
We need Paul to reinvent himself.
New Paul.
I actually kind of feel like Paul has in his own little way. I truly mean that. Like, over the last, like, since Mangino was fired, like, I've noticed a significant change in the man.
You mean, like, in a non-existent kind
of way?
Do you
have any examples? Or?
Yeah.
No, just...
Like, he smells better?
I mean,
like,
I'm not going to make a big deal out of it because...
Did he change from Old Spice to right guard? Or, like, what are you talking about?
No, there's a different, like, gleam in his eye. I can't... I can't describe it. So I don't want to make a big deal out of it because it sounds stupid, but there is a significant difference.
It's because there's more food for him at training table.
Oh.
Now we're getting with the cheap shots. Mark Charter, markcharter.com.
What else could it be?
All right. Thanks, guys.
Well,
good job.
We'll see you. We'll see you in Vegas next year.
Yeah. Let's do it.
He's not going.
Yeah. See you guys.
See you.